listeners. Thank you for tuning in for our podcast on ivory trade in Africa. I'm Abby.
I'm Claire.
And I'm Ethan. Records of ivory hunting and trading go back to the 14th century in Africa, but it is estimated that it started far before then.
1,000 years later, the northern African elephant population was completely wiped out. But how did this happen?
During the post-classical era, trade in Africa thrived. The main trade routes were the sand and sea roads. The sea road traveled across the Arabian Sea to the Arabian Peninsula, with goods reaching the Middle East, South Asia, and Southeast Asia. The sand road traveled across and around the Sahara Desert.
Along these trade routes, ivory was one of the most commonly traded materials, along with gold, copper, and salt.
Unfortunately, this led to some consequences. The start of this ivory trade created a pathway for future trade of ivory, both legal and illegal.
One 100 years ago, an estimated 5 million African elephants roamed. Today, the number is below 500,000.
In the past 10 years, elephant species populations have dropped 30-60%.
Illegal poaching still kills 30,000 elephants every year.
In the 1900s, ivory supplied by the African ivory trade was used to make things such as piano keys and billiard balls.
But in post-classical society, ivory was used as a currency and was often carved to make statues, like in Gothic era Europe. But to how did this ivory get around?
Funny you ask. In order to transport the ivory, merchants used boats called dhows to travel across the Arabian Sea.
There were two types of dhows. The deep-bellied dhow, perfect for carrying lots of materials, but not super efficient in the water.
And the streamlined dhow, which moves through the water at high speeds.
Huh. Ivory was also used for carving and sculpture. I actually have a picture of an ivory sculpture here. Two heads are shown facing each other. The detail is exquisite, and the face shapes are very unique and realistic. This is wild. It looks incredible. The head on the right appears to be a man, and the head on the left appears to be a woman. Because they are carved of tusks, the artist incorporated the tops of the tusks into the pieces. It almost looks as if the woman is carrying something on her head. The man appears to be wearing a headdress.
This gives us an insight into the roles that men and women may have had in this time on the east coast of Africa.
This has been quite a journey learning about the trade of ivory in Africa. Unfortunately, we did have a hard time researching these topics because of the Eurocentric way history is taught.
As you can see, ivory was very important to both trade and culture in many parts of African history.